The Lord is good. I wrote something and my wife said, oh, that's pretty good, you know, and I read it again and it's like, oh, this is pretty bad. And, you know, and I was actually upset yesterday when we went to bed, and but the Lord is good, you know. I went to bed 10 o'clock, slept until 4, which is kind of normal. So, and, you know, just as I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I kind of think that I'm a servant, and that's what we're supposed to be. And this should be the number one thing in our arsenal, our Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And I myself, I don't know, many of you know Oswald Chambers. I never met him. But the dude really is really solid. And I went to him this morning, and I did go to the Lord first. So. But this is what today's Oswald says. Ready in season. Be ready in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2. Many of us suffer from unbalanced tendency to be ready only out of season. The season does not refer to time, it refers to us. This verse says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, we should be ready whether we feel it or not. If we do only what we feel inclined to do, some of us would never do anything. I'm going to end there. I wanted to start off with the first epistle of John, chapter 1. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read it real quick. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things were written to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once again, Fred asked me to share, and I'm from Geneva Christian Fellowship. Please bear with me. This is something that's out of my comfort zone. But as 1 Peter 3:15 states, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. Honestly, guys, other than Pastor Fred, it doesn't seem like most people really even care. They don't want to know anything of the Lord. In my realm, I worked in a factory all my life, and, you know, I was going to invite a friend of mine that really loved Pastor Bill, and since Pastor Bill's not here, I didn't invite him. But he was kind of like my sword, as iron sharpened iron. When we would pass in the hallways, even though it was just 2 to 5 minutes, we were sharpening each other, and that was awesome. But like my coworkers that were right around me, they would just like shake their heads. Why do you, every time I say this, you say that? And it's like, you know, I do think that it's been really cool that the Lord must have used me a little bit, because over the last 5 years or so, with some of the people that I have known, all I would do is, hey, can I pray for you? You know, and that really was cool. So it's like I was doing something more than I thought, because I don't go to work and become Johnny Evangelist. I go to work and I do what I need to do. But if the Lord comes up, I'm eager to share. Let's go back to my notes. So I read with 1 John. I think John is describing that he had a relationship with the Lord, and that's what life is supposed to be. And that's something that I've struggled with, is relationships all my life. Being raised in the Air Force and moving about 10 times before the 10th grade, I didn't know how to fit in. And being raised in the 60s and the 70s, there was a lifestyle that I did fall into and continued into the 80s after joining the Navy. Proverbs 14:12 states that there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end of therefore of the ways of death. Can you count the times that you were close to death? Seeing you young guys, I hope that you've never been there. But I, in a life of drugs and alcohol, I've been behind the wheel. I've hit a telephone pole at 65 miles an hour, and I walked away. And, you know, before this, there was not really God in my life. And kind of like starts to wonder, you know, there has to be more than this. I was not on a good path, and even though I didn't know God, today I can see His blessings in my life then. Does that make sense? Though I wasn't well educated, the Lord and my honorable discharge opened a door to a career in aerospace. I met a cute lady with a son, and within a year we were married and with another son on the way. She was Catholic. My parents thought they raised us Catholic, but going to church 2 times a year, not a lot sticks. Sorry. Being a family man now, the drugs and alcohol needed to be laid aside. It was easier said than done. Just to let you know, there are some good templates out there for doing a testimony. It's probably not really rocket science, but I have issues with anxiety and talking to you guys, and you know, so I thought it would be a good thing to pull up. And the only thing is, you can't get your own testimony from the Google. You need to look at yourself. So the cool thing is, if you do look me up, there's not much there. So, but in going with the testimony, that was a little bit of the history. And then how was I introduced to the Lord? And I would have to say there was a man in my life. It was really cool. I worked for McDonnell Douglas. I'd go up on a huge airplane every day, and that was my life, you know, and it was really cool. And then one day, this guy comes up, and he's a Cuban immigrant. His name is Manny Gonzalez. He's born-again Christian, and at that time, I was still getting high, and I'd come up on the airplane, and he'd be like, "Don't talk to me, I'm talking to God." And it's just like, oh, you're crazy, you know. And, you know, I worked with him for over a couple of years, and I watched him go through the fire. He was a pastor of a small Spanish-speaking church in Bell, California, and he shared the Lord every day with me, even though I didn't want it. And you know, just God bless him. It was neat. I saw the man walk through fire. He came in one day. His wife was pregnant by someone else. They had the kid. He raised the kid. So it's like his testimony was rock solid. And once again, he shared all the time with me. And I don't know about you, but with me, my salvation, you know, it was a long journey. And where I think my journey probably started was the day that he got transferred. And I remember I was up on the gantry on the side of the airplane, and like, it's kind of cool because it's like, it looks like here. And Manny was down off the airplane and he was walking away. And the facility was huge, so it's like he was miles away from where I worked, so I never really got to see him. I saw him one more time, I think it was. But as he was walking away, I really got the sense that the light of Jesus was fading in my life, you know. And let's go back to the notes. Life was pretty good. Married, two boys, two cars, two dogs, house down by the beach, and I was still stoned. But in writing this up and thinking about this, is, you know, Philippians 2:12 came to mind. And therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my presence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Another verse that came to mind was Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Long journey. I started to go to Mass with my wife. The only thing is, the priest wasn't sharing the stuff that Manny taught. And And we argued, you know, he would argue. Paul would say, let's reason together, but there was no reasoning with him. He was not sharing the gospel. And a friend of mine from work, he said, hey, there's a born-again church right down the road from where you live. And I found out that there was a men's study on Tuesday nights. And because I'm a man, I'm going to go to the men's study, right? I walked in the room, and there they said, welcome to the New Believer Study. You know, and it's just like, the Lord knows what we need when we need it. And I met a guy there named Guy, and Bruce has met him. I'm still good friends with him. Got to see him last year in March. Through this class, the same as Manny taught, I was taught that I was a sinner, and the penalty of sin is death, and that Jesus paid the debt for my sins, and that He is the way, the truth, the light, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus did deliver me from drugs. It was an instantaneous self, you know. It happened that quick, and it was the desire that was taken away. And you know, within a year, Jenny started attending and with me, and I moved from the New Believer Study into the men's group. Guy was still in my group, so that was really cool. And that was a neat thing. I did go to a big church. It was Thursday nights, I do believe. There would be like 200, 250 men there. And then we broke down into small groups. You know, there was a main teacher, he taught, and then we would go and we would talk. And for like 3 or 4 years, you know, I was with these guys all the time, and I learned how to serve the Lord, and be a part of the fellowship. It was an awesome time, and we learned to serve without borders, boundaries, or benefits. If I would put a title on this testimony, it would be Seasons, because life is full of seasons, and I think we all pretty much know that. And once again, this was an awesome time for growth for both my wife and myself. Being a part of a fellowship where you're there 4 or 5 times a week, and that sometimes meant twice in a day. That didn't mean that we were there every single night. Because still, back then, I was working 40, 60 hours a week. I worked for Boeing, and they raise you 6 to 4:30, and Saturdays and Sundays if they can get it out of you. And the money was good, so. But, you know, and that was the neat thing is, the Lord provided the strength to do all of everything, you know. My wife was taken care of, the kids were taken care of, the house was taken care of. But now we move fast forward, so that was probably 95 to, you know, part of my note says fast forward to 2000, 2005. I applied for a position in Texas for the Joint Strike Fighter, but I did not get the position that I applied for. But it was the first time I had ever thought about leaving California, Southern California. And I really did enjoy life there. It was pretty cool. But come 2004, my wife, who was born and raised in Buffalo, her dad still being there, she's like, hey, you're getting close to 20 years at Boeing. If you leave, you'll get a pension, and real estate market was good. She just wanted to be closer to her dad in his latter years. And not really saying this in here, but I've never been really close to my family. But I always got to see people visiting us from my wife's side of the family. And, so I really didn't know what family was, but, you know, through her and through her family, I got to be kind of a family. Not kind of, did. So we prayed about it, and the Lord opened the door. And we loaded the truck up and moved to Phelps, New York, August 2005. Being around family was good. The new to us old farmhouse, I call it the money pit, she loved it. I did not, even though it became my full-time job. And even after it was done to a certain point, you know, everyone dreams of being in a house and everything, but a house is really, really hard. It takes a lot out of you. Was this the permissive will of the Lord? I want to go backwards a little bit about doing your testimony. Even if you don't get invited up to share your testimony, I would really support, I would encourage you to look at it and sit back. You know, I'm 65 years old. I came to know the Lord in the 90s. You know, that's a long time, you know. And going back, and I'm not taking an inventory. Actually, it wasn't even very, as you'll see, it was not a... it wasn't, there is great times and there is bad times, and that's why I said about seasons. So let's continue going forward. I know the Bible says that idle hands are the devil's workshops, and I can testify to this. So over some time, I could go on and say that she said, he said, but as James 1:14 states, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When desire was conceived, it gives sin birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives or brings forth death. There is no justification in my actions here. I believed a lie, and I lived a lie, and you know, at this time, I did know Bruce, I did know Fred, and even with them trying to say, you know, Mike, you're not doing the right thing, I still did the wrong thing. and I left, you know, and I had justification in myself, but not in the eyes of the Lord. My parents were sick. My mom was dying. And I used it kind of like as an out. But I was wrong. I should not have done what I did do. Sorry. I walked away from the Lord, my family. Jenny never wanted to give up. Matthew 19:6 states, "What the Lord brings together, let no man separate, even me." We're broken people and we live in a fallen world. And my two favorite words in the Bible is, "But God." Praise the Lord. This was not a game, no resets, no mulligans. We repented, we got biblical counseling, and we did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And once again, it just like my coming to the Lord, this was not that quick. It took time, and a comforting verse that I had was Romans 12:1-2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is a good and acceptable, perfect will of God." I'd like to thank Keith with the John 10:28. "Neither shall any one of them be snatched out of my hand." The Lord is good, and I backslid, and it was a hard backslide, and yet we serve a Lord of second chances, third chances. And he is so good. One of the verses that, you know, Genesis 2:24, "Two shall become one flesh." We still live this verse. The Lord opened another door, time, season, for us to serve. And we did, at our old church, even at our new church. And now, I just pulled the retirement trigger 2 weeks ago. And we celebrate 38 years of marriage this year. And we've been married 38 years, and some seasons we serve more than others. Right now, I don't know what tomorrow brings, because we downsized from that big old farmhouse that I didn't like to a nice quiet place, and it's been good. You know, it's almost like an apartment, you know. It's that small. But we're still serving the Lord, and (clears throat) In closing, I stated about 1 John and John sharing that I know because he knew him. I encourage everyone to be in the Word. You younger guys, you know, if someone said, "Oh, want to go and be 20 again?" No. Live your best life now. And I'm not trying to do the Joel Osteen thing. I'm saying your best life is being so close to your Savior that there's no way that you can be drifting away. And once you think that, you drift away. You know, the devil is out there wanting to strip us of eternity, you know. I was going to go about saying, you know, do you got a favorite character in the Bible and stuff? And you know, someone that both my wife and I like is Simeon and Anna. And, you know, we hope that, you know, that's the kind of life that we live forward. I love Genesis 5:28 about Enoch. You know, I always thought that, you know, okay, Enoch walked with the Lord 65 years. He walked with him 365 years. I don't think that I'm going to have 300 more years. Honestly, guys, I was on the operating table on Tuesday, and the doctors were in my heart putting a stent in. I don't know what tomorrow has for us, but I know that He has me. He chose me. He chose you. You didn't choose Him. You can just go out in this world and see all the people that don't know the Lord. He chose all them, but they don't know that. And it's our job to be sharing that with them. Look, I overdid my time.
I was thinking about what I